I want you to turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6. This is part 2 today. You'll have part 3 next week. Should end it on our study. I'm going to read verse down through 13. And the first part of 14. We've talked about an enemy. And the enemy's real. He is really real. A lot of folks don't think so, but let me tell you something. He's real. He hates God, and he'll do whatever he can to get to God. He don't care about you one iota. He will use you and throw you away. He will use the church and throw it away. He's evil and wicked in his very character. Can't be nothing else. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You go to the book of Daniel, and Daniel will give you some understanding how Satan works on nations, how he works on leaders, how he gets in control and guides things and directs things. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, Paul saying, I don't want you to get defeated and run. I don't want you beat down. I want you to be able to stand and be strong. And then in the first part of verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, as we look at scripture today, it's not what man says, it's not what man writes, it's what you say, and it's what you've written that counts. And so, Father, open our hearts and minds and our wills to receive your word. Strengthen me at this moment in time. I've gone through a lot of emotions the last 3 days. But Lord, you've been faithful in everything. And I know you'll be faithful this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. We said last week that our enemy began with a fall. From Isaiah 14, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Thou art cut down to the ground, which didst weaken nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the shade sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. The archangel Lucifer was with Michael and them. Scholars tell us he had the responsibility of directing worship to God from the angels. And he became filled with pride. God was getting all the recognition and he was getting nothing. And the more he was filled, the more his character changed. And he became evil and wicked on the inside. He started a rebellion in heaven. One third of the angels. He convinced to follow him. Now, folks, that's a lot. There are myriads and myriads of angels created by God. We don't know how many the one-third is, but it's more than our minds can wrap around. He is powerful, and he is strong, and he is deceptive. You in your own strength and in your own power do not have the ability to withstand him. This church, in its own strength and in its own power, could never defeat him. Never. If we don't guard our lives and if we don't guard our congregation as the people of God and the family of God, he will have a heyday with us as a group. He's good at that. He's been doing it a long time. He convinced Adam and Eve, who had never sinned and knew nothing but pure righteousness and holiness, to turn against God. You and I are born with a sin nature, a bent in that direction, and it's easy for him to convince us to rebel against God. You remember Job. One day, God is there and the angels are coming by for review. And Satan's among them. Hey, God said, where you been? Well, he knew. He just wasn't him telling. Well, I've been walking up and down through the earth to and fro, you know. God said, have you seen my man Job? Well, yeah, I've seen him. He said, man, isn't he a righteous person? Satan says, now, he's righteous because you bless him. You take his blessings away and he'll curse you to your face. God says, go. Don't touch him. Man, he attacked everything that the man owned except him and his wife. Satan just destroyed everything and Job lost it all. Satan's back in heaven before God, and God said, how about Job? He said, well, now if you touch him, he'll curse you. He won't worship you. God said, okay. You touch him, you don't take his life. He touched him, remember? Boils the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. If you've ever had one boil, then you don't need no more, right? They're painful. They hurt. They have infection in them. His whole body's infected. He scraped himself with shreds of pieces of potter, and dogs licked him. Finally, his wife comes and said, man, why don't you just curse God and die and get it over with? Slow death here. His friends came, and when they saw him, they couldn't talk. They just sat there for all that time. Finally, they started giving him wisdom. Quotation marks, okay? The best wisdom they had was to keep their mouth shut. They didn't know Job, didn't know his heart, didn't know the conversation between Satan and God. Didn't know nothing about it. Not a thing. Job didn't even know about it. He got to a point where, after all that he had gone through, he said, you know, I'd just like to have a face-to-face talk with God. And he prayed that. Well, God gave him a conversation, an audience. Job, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I put the stars in place? Job, did I ask your opinion about the sun and the moon and the earth? And he goes on. And after a while, Job said, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. And then God blessed him. More children, more farms, more animals. Satan has access to heaven right now, but not forever. Not forever. God's going to shut him out. He won't be there constantly. In chapter 12 of Revelation, beginning in verse 7, it says, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice, loud voice, saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. There's coming a battle in the future. Now, you and I may not know anything about it because it's going to take place in the third heaven where Paul went. Michael is in charge of an army of angels. I don't know if the full third of angels that followed Satan or Lucifer and rebelled against God will be all fighting with Michael and his angels. But if they are, they are going to lose, period, because God has empowered Michael and his angels to win. There's no way in the world Satan can ever win against Almighty God. He has been created by God. He is not God. Now, he is accusing you and me as believers, followers of Christ, his disciples who love him and want to serve him and want to obey him. He's accusing us before the throne of God when we flub up. And we flub up. We do. I mean, you do. I do. You don't want to hear all my flub dubs. And I don't want to hear all yours. You take them to God, I'll take mine to God. He'll wipe the slate clean and we'll get a fresh start. But listen, even though you got a clean slate, Satan's going to bring up some past stuff and try to accuse you and whip you. Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? I put that under the blood of Christ a long time ago, and he forgave me. He wiped the slate clean. What's your problem? And he'll try to defeat you. Keep you from talking. Keep you from witnessing. Keep you from sharing the blessed truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel that sets people free. Paul said to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and to the Gentile. We're not left out, folks. And it's God's power, it's God's strength in the gospel. And he'd try everything he can to keep you from doing that. A little bit later here, Satan goes through some more stuff. He is bound by chains. And cast into the pit, and it's locked, and he can't get out. Well, I thought he was powerful. Well, he's not more powerful than God. He's not more powerful than Michael. He's not more powerful than the angels that wrapped him in a chain and cast him into the pit and then locked it. Simple. God's power. He's there for 1,000 years. Lineal reign of Christ. Peace on earth. Joy. He doesn't deceive nations. He's not going around causing trouble. Now, there'll still be sin because you and I have a sin nature. And James says we are carried away by our own lust. That's what gets us in trouble. You know? We got play toys in the garage, but we want another one. And here, so we go buy another one we don't need. He's cast there for 1,000 years. How many of you going to live to 100? You want to try 1,000? He's there for 1,000 years. And then in Revelation 20, verse 7, it says this, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Ooh. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Time without end. Now, that's a battle in the future. Some of us could be alive when that takes place, but most likely not. Okay? We got to get through the 1,000 years, okay? He has power. And I grew up on a farm, and a lot of my illustrations are farm related. We had chickens. We had roosters and chickens, hens. And they were Leghorns. And we had some banny hens and we had some banny roosters. And I used to laugh. Oh, I'd laugh. Them little banny roosters would get around them big roosters and they'd start strutting their stuff. "I'm going to whip you. I'm going to turn you everywhere it's way but loose." All that big rooster had to do was move a little bit and that banny. He tried it once before and got whooped pretty bad by them claws, you know. Satan likes to strut his stuff like a banny rooster. But he can't touch you or me. Because God lives in us. John 4:4, 1 John 4:4. "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Satan may have influence in the world, but he doesn't have to have an ounce of influence on us. If we open the door, he'll step in. He don't care where he goes. But as long as we have Jesus answering the door, he's not coming in. Okay? In church, he'll do whatever he can to trip you up. He'll do whatever he can to cause you to stumble. He'll use the preacher. He'll use the deacons. He'll use the song leader. He'll use the pianist. He'll use John Doe sitting in the pew. Doesn't matter to him. He just want to trip you up. He doesn't want Jesus to get any honor. He wants him to be dishonored. And he works overtime to do that. The passage I read said they overcame him. How? By the blood of the Lamb. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And the Jews represents the blood of the Lamb. And the bread represents his body that was given for us. We have a living Savior, not a dead Savior. We have a Savior who is with us. Oh, he sits on the throne at the right hand of God. But he's with us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He said to his disciples, I'll not leave you orphans. I'll come to you. How'd he come to them? In the presence of the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. He seals us. He empowers us. He anoints us. He illuminates us to understand the Word of God. He's here in our midst. And he loves us with a love that I cannot comprehend. I've been loved by a spouse just unbelievably. I've been loved by my kids unbelievably. I've been loved by people unbelievably. But I've been loved greater by Jesus Christ. Because while he was on the cross, I was on his mind, dying for me. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, I've said before, when I'm as ugly as I can be, Jesus died for me. And it says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish or will not perish. They will have everlasting life. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, honoring what God has done for us, doing it in remembrance of him. What a blessing we have to come at this point and remind ourselves the cost of our salvation and our freedom from sin.